I'm going to minister and preach tonight a little bit about something that we've heard many, many times, but the Lord kind of dropped this word into my heart a few weeks ago, and it's temptation. Temptation. A temptation is a desire to do something especially wrong or unwise. Has anybody here ever heard the devil just speak into your ear to tell you to tell someone a lie? When you have to give an answer for something, and a lie would be better than better for you than the truth would be? I've had that happen to me, you know. The devil just spoke into my heart, so, you know, it'd be better, easier if you just tell a lie right now, and, you know, it would be easier for you. And I was so tempted to spit out it's just a little white lie, Brother Joe. It's just a little one. But a little one can send you to hell as fast as a big one will. So that temptation, I fought it, and I said, okay, shut up. Just shut up. And we got the devil off of you, off of myself. You know, it's like wiped him off like dandruff, go away. Sometimes we have to physically resist temptation. We have to physically resist it. Maybe we may have to, slam your hand over your mouth and walk backwards and get away from the situation. And throughout the Bible, there has been noted times of temptation, and it always came up bad. It always came up, and at the end of it all, it was bad for the one that fell into that temptation trap. In the garden, we remember that Eve and Adam stood in the middle of the garden at the tree of knowledge. Let's read in chapter 3 and verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than all the beasts in the field, which the Lord had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of the tree of the garden, out of every tree of the garden? And the woman said this unto the serpent, He said, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the tree of which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye should die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die, for God know that the day that thereof that your eyes shall be opened. And ye shall be as gods in knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband, and he did eat. And his eyes And the eyes of them were both open, and they both knew that they were naked, and that they sewed fig leaves, praise the Lord, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife did hide themselves from the presence of the Lord, and from the Lord God, and amongst the trees of the garden. The serpent spoke to Eve. You know, I believe that's why that we have such a phobia for snakes, is because of the serpent that beguiled Eve in the middle of the garden and began to speak to her. But the thing about it was is that she stopped and she listened. And, you know, if we would not listen to what the enemy has to say to us, and how that he's trying to speak to our hearts and trying to misguide our hearts and to misguide our minds. He deals with us in here, in your mind. He starts at your mind, and he begins to play up there. And when he begins to infuse a little bit, and we begin to stop and to listen, and we start to look at him and say, that makes sense. Then we find ourselves in trouble. When we find the enemy and he's beginning to talk us into something, then we find ourselves in trouble. How many times, I don't know how many of you kids have done this, but how many times have you let somebody talk you into something? I've had kids that would talk to me into stuff, and I've gotten myself in trouble, more trouble than I want to even talk about. I had somebody, they talked me into going to a big party, and I went. Wound up getting dropped off out in the middle of nowhere over there on Irene Road. Me and another kid. Way out on Irene Road. And I found myself walking home. Walking home all the way from Irene Road. And I was walking and walking and walking some more. And then all of a sudden, Brother Dan, I heard birds starting to chirp. And I thought to myself, because I didn't have no watch, and that was when you didn't have cell phones or anything, and I thought to myself, I'm in trouble. I'm in trouble. And I got myself, and I hitchhiked, and I seen a police car, and I was glad to see him, because I knew that he'd give me a ride. He gave me a ride up to the bypass, and he says, you're on your own from here, young man. And he says, you be careful. And so he set me on the road there. And my buddy Dean, I don't know where he went from there, but I started on my way home. I hitchhiked until I got all the way up to 251 up by New Milford. That's where I lived. And I heard some wheels stop behind me on the side of the road, because on the edge of the road, the shoulder of the road was gravel. And I looked back, and it was my stepdad. Oh, my. If it could have been anybody else, then I would have paid him $20, because, $20 was a lot to a teenager. But if it could have just been someone else. But I got myself in a lot of trouble that night. I got myself the whooping I deserved. It was me. I did it. I listened. And I went ahead, and there I was. I was in trouble. The enemy will come into your life, and even right now, especially right now, because you are saved and you're born again, he is trying to get you back. He's trying to bring you back into that place where that you once was. He's trying to bring you back from where you are now to the place where that you once was. He knows that God has won you over, and he knows that you are saved, and he knows that you are born again. And he's using every trick and everything that he can, every temptation that he can lay out before you. He's laying everything out that he can. He's a dirty fighter, and he'll fight dirty, and folks, he will try everything to draw you back into that old life. And we always like to say, that Eve, if it wasn't for her, we just wouldn't have this was what she, and even Adam looked at God and said, God, it was that woman that you gave me. But it says in the word, it says that he was with her. With her. Standing next to her by the tree. He could have reached out and said, smacked her hand and said no. Or smacked her here, no. He could have stopped everything right there. But no. He didn't. I still love Adam. Still appreciate the brother. We all have said it, I think. At least I have. When I get to heaven, I'm going to kick Adam right in the shins. No, when I get to heaven, I'm going to dance all around, and I'll probably hug him and say, brother, I love you. I've made more mistakes than that. How would you like to be the man that was known for all of eternity for that mistake? Thank you, Lord. And on the rooftop, Brother Dan preached about or taught about this very well the other night. In 2 Samuel chapter 11, starting in the first verse, it says, "And it came to pass after the year was expired, at the time that the kings go forth to battle, and David sent Joab and his servants with him and all of Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon. And they besieged Reba, but David tarried still in Jerusalem. And it came to pass, as evening tide, that David arose off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman washing herself, and the woman was very beautiful to look upon. And David sent and inquired after the woman, and one said to one said, is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite? And David sent messengers unto her, and she came in, and he lay with her. For she was purified for her uncleanness, and returned unto her house. And the woman conceived, and sent and told David, that, and said, I am with child." David was back at the castle and back at the palace, and he shouldn't have been. He should have went out with his men. He should have been out in battle. He didn't have any business being there. But he was. He was there. And when we get bored, we get bored. Sometimes I get bored and I'll walk out in my backyard, and thank goodness it's not looking down on somebody else's house, because I got a bunch of scrub trees that surround my house, and I'm thankful for the kind of privacy that I have in the middle of that hill. But David looked once, but then he looked a second time. And he kept looking. And that desire came up in him. And as that desire came up within his heart and welled up within him, he couldn't get her out of his mind. He walked back into the palace, and he walked back into the king's chambers, and he stayed in there, and he walks around, and as he kind of tried to clear his mind and get that out of his head, you know, and that's the way that it is, but you can't get it out of his, he couldn't get it out of his mind. He couldn't get that woman out of his mind. He said, he finally turned to one of his servants and says, find out who that is. He found out who it is, and was she's got sent for, because he went a step further. That temptation kept welling up within him. Instead of going to an altar and getting a hold of God and beginning to pound the altar and say, my God, have mercy on me. Please help me. I'm a man, and I need help, and I need strength. I need you to deliver me from this. I'm having a problem with it, and God, I don't know what else to do. God would have touched him, and he would have given him strength to be able to get through that battle. Your enemy will throw fiery darts at you. There will temptations will come, men, women alike. It doesn't matter. There's going to be temptations that are going to come to you in your life, and you're going to have to deal with them. It's just according to how that you do deal with them. Fight a good fight of faith. Stand strong in the Lord. The battle is not yours, but it is God's. If you can't deal with the temptation and you're battling with it and you're about ready to crumble to it, and you know that you are, we know that we are. We understand it more than anybody. Our personal battles are our personal battles, and we have to deal with them, but we got to bring them before God, because if we don't bring them before God, then we are going to crumble to that temptation. Why preach this to me, Brother Cliff? Because you need it. You're the people of God, and you need to know it. And if I'm not preaching to anybody, I will preach to myself tonight. I will minister to me, and I will listen to my sermon, and I will listen to it, because there's going to come temptations to me. Every time I preach something, it seems like there's a battle of some sort according to what I have preached and ministered that following Sunday. It will happen to me next week. Sometimes I'm apprehensive to preach about some things because I'm like, I don't want to go through that. You know, that's just the way that it is, but I thank God that he gives me the strength to be able to overcome. He has made me more than an overcomer. I am a conqueror in Christ Jesus. I begin to talk to myself, and then I begin to quote scripture to me. That's when the devil had came to Jesus and said, hey, if you be the Son of God, and I know you're hungry because you haven't ate for at least 30 or 40 days, If you're really the Son of God, turn these stones into loaves of bread. But Jesus looked back at the devil, and he didn't use his authority, but he used the authority of God, and he used the word of God. He said, listen, devil. He said, you don't live on by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. He began to quote scripture. That will give you strength. Take that example. Live that example. When the devil comes to you and you say, listen, devil, God has told me, if I resist you and I submit myself unto God, that you have to flee from me. Fight the devil with the word of God. You're not going to fight him with your own words. You're not going to fight him with your own words and your own self. You're going to have to use the word of God. It's the sword of the Spirit. That's what you have got to be able to defend yourself with. So I tell you tonight, and I encourage you tonight to be able to use the word of God to be able to fight your battles. I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. I know that I can. If you've got to use plain and simple and short scriptures, use them. Because every time you use the word, you put a slice in the old boy, and he begins to run. And thank you, Lord. Thank God for it. Thank God for it tonight. He has given us his word tonight. God has given us his word. And I receive it. And I use it. Thank you, Jesus. As I said, temptation will come, especially after we're saved. Because when the devil's already got us, temptations don't bother us. You know, you see, the temptations and things of the world, it doesn't bother us that we fall into them or walk right into them anyways. It doesn't bother us because we're already out there. But when we're living for God, and when we've given our hearts to God, and the things that we've turned around and God's turned around in our life, when we start living that life for God, then we fall into sin and fall into temptation. Then we're like, oh God. Then it just does something. It tears us inside. Then we have to find some place, and we have to look and get to an altar. I don't care what it is. And we bend our knee and begin to cry out to God and say, God, have mercy on me. I'm a sinner. Forgive me, Father God, in Jesus' name. Have mercy on me today. And you know what's great about that? You might have to get a little bit of a whooping. I don't like them. Thank you, Jesus. But God, thank you, Lord. God is great and rich in mercy. Do you remember the story of the prodigal son? he was tempted to get away from his dad, and he said, I don't want to wait around until I'm old and get my money then. And he looked at his dad. He goes, Dad, why don't you give me my loot now? Let me do it, have it while I'm young. And he did. And he walked off, and he lived out in the world, and he lived a riotous living and riotous life, and he found himself face down in a hog trough. And finally, he came to himself, and he says, I'm going home. I'm going to my dad. I'm going to my father. I'm going to my father's house. And this is what I'm going to tell him. I'm going to tell him that I'm no longer worthy of being his son, but all I can do is be his servant. I'll live as one of his servants. His servants got bread and bread to throw away, and his servants even got a roof over their head. My dad's good to them. My father is good to them. So he went home, and he got over the hill, and he got towards the house, and his dad saw him, and he said, I know that walk. I know that's my son. That's my son. And he ran, and he met him, and he kissed him on the neck, and he hugged him, and he received him back in. And his sons started to tell him, Dad, I'm not worth it. I'm a sinner. I'm wrong. I did wrong. But before he could do all of it, he said, hush, boy, everything's okay. He received him in. After he blew all that money I know it was a parable, but the thought of it and the mindset of it, if one of my kids did that, oh, I'd have to whip him with a belt. But you see, he was just trying to give an example of how merciful that our Heavenly Father is. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. But James says this, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lusts and enticed. You see, my brother was teaching that lesson to Isaiah, and he didn't really know it. Because he said, now reel a little bit and jerk, reel and jerk, and then I kept thinking, like, reel, jerk. Who are you talking to? So anyways, I thought, like, that don't work. He goes, you gotta tease him and entice him a little bit. And I thought, oh, whatever. 14-inch crappie. I'm getting you a shirt that says fishing instructor. So whenever we have to have a men's fishing retreat, everybody's going to look to you for advice. Me and Brother Gary are going to stand over to the edge and all like, ha, that's funny. But be over there being real jerks. Praise the Lord. But he said, my brother, he said, you got to teach them fish a little bit. You got to make them want that. And that's kind of how the devil brings things along in our life, and he kind of entices us with things. I don't know how or what your weekend or what or anything else, but God knows. First Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13, it says, there, I need to let you know. Just read this scripture with me and just put it in your heart. You don't have to read it out loud if you don't want to, but if you want to read it out loud with me, go ahead. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with that temptation also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. A lot of times people have misquoted this scripture, and they'll say God won't put anything on you that you can't bear. And that's not what the scripture says. And when I've tried to correct people at that, you know, they just kind of seem like they got a little upset with me and got angry with me. But the Bible says there has no temptation that has come such as common to man. But with that temptation, God has given you, he'll help, he won't tempt you above that which you're able to take. But with that temptation, he will give you a way of escape. whether if it's in the lust department or the way you talk department or whatever it is, God has given you a way of escape. What about the, you know, when looking at the opposite sex? Because I'm going to say, because it happens on both sides, okay? That man sitting back there says that God has given me a neck and he's given me blinkers on my eyes. So I can blink them shut or I can turn my head and not look. If I got a big mouth, I can. You understand? Because sometimes when I get my mouth yakking, because I got my mama in me and blah, 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 and it'll get going. And I have to hush it up physically. Sometimes maybe you'll have to physically prevent yourself, but whatever you have to do, do it. It doesn't matter how crazy people think you are, but only how God looks at you and says, look at him trying so hard. Look at my son. Look at my daughter. Look at them doing the word, not just a reader of the word and a hearer of the word, but a doer. Let's mix faith with the word, folks. Let's mix faith with the word. Let's put faith in action. Matthew chapter 26 and verse 41, it says, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. And it says, the spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak. Watch and pray. I tell that to my teenage Sunday school class because I prayed with my eyes open. I learned to do that because they will do stuff. I'm sitting there praying for the Sunday school class, and I look and I watch and I see Robert swinging over there and smack his brother Bobby. His mom and dad were real original when they named him. One's name's Robert. The other one's Bobby. Don't ask. But Jesus said to stand and watch and pray. Open your eyes. Watch and see if the devil's going to come at you. Keep your eyes open. Luke 22 and 40 says, and when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray that ye enter not into temptation. Obviously, prayer is an important tool in your life. Obviously, prayer is very important to us in our walk. Jesus spoke it out more than once throughout the scripture. Pray that you'll enter not into temptation. Pray that God will bring you right through it. And he does. Thank you, Lord. Excuse me. Drink of that water so bad I can't stand it, and I know what you just said earlier. Somebody else drink it. Hey, watch these stairs when you come up here, okay, buddy? Boy, he brought that water to Sister Mona, and he fell like a shot deer right there. Bam. He just went down. But 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, it says, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of the temptation. Oh, man, thank you, Lord. And the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. Thank you, sir. I'll save you the step. Thank you, brother. Hang on. It's not that I have a drinking problem, but thank you, Jesus. But as God, as Peter spoke out and wrote to me in a letter, he said that the Lord knows how to take care of you. The Lord knows how to deliver you out of temptation. If you're in the middle of it and you're in the middle of a hailstorm and you're thinking, oh, God, how am I going to get out of this? Help me, Lord. I'm having trouble. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord. But the Lord knoweth how to deliver all of the godly from temptations. But in that second half of the verse of Scripture, it reads it, but it says that he reserves, and he knows how to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. Those that slipped up, those that fell into it and stayed there. I watch things on YouTube because the TV gets boring, and I watch dogs and stuff and fishing. Brother Gary looks at me and goes, "That's like watching golf." But I like fishing, so I suppose if somebody liked golf, they would watch it. But I don't like either one of those. But I like fishing. But I've seen a Labrador Retriever, two of them. They were out in the backyard and they were just having a ball. And the yard was dirty and muddy. And one of the other dogs was just laid down in a mud puddle and covered it. He was just covered. And when he got up, he was nothing but mud. I thought, oh, I just shoot the dog. He's already got dirt on him. He can just lay there and be buried himself. But you see, we can find ourselves with ourselves into the place where that we are covered in just sin and tempt the things that we fall into. Oh God. But thank you, Lord. Thank you, God, that you're good to us. Luke chapter 21 and verse 34 says, "And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life. And so that the day come upon you unawares." Let me read that again because that was a little tongue twister. "And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and the cares of this life. And so that the day come upon you unawares." Romans chapter 6 and verse 13, it says, "Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God." Thank you, Jesus. We need to remember to be vigilant in everything. Brother Sean, you're dealing with things that are and workplaces tempting you to and you're not sure which one to go to and what where to go and what to do and everything else, you know, and we all could tell you, "Oh yeah, do this, you do that," you know, but our advice could be the wrong advice. But I think you minded the Holy Ghost, and I think the Lord is going to bless you from here on. So, but you see, there's going to be things and times when what we need to do for God, something that we need to do for God, or where do I need to go? What do I need to do? Do you want me to go out into the ministry, God? Do you want me to step out and go ahead and start to travel, or do you want me to do to start another church or something like that? That's something. In that manner, sometimes, you know, people will kind of miss the Lord if we're not careful, so that we're in the right spot with God. We need to know where the right place for us is in God. So God, give us direction, because the devil can give you a little bit off of direction, you know, and get you off. So Just trying to warn and to speak to your hearts and maybe, you know, give you some kind of godly direction that listen to the Lord's advice. Listen to the Lord's voice. Get to know his voice and then listen to what he has to say. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 13 says, "Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand the evil in the evil day, and having done all to stand." Then he speaks about putting on the armor of God. We're going to close with this scripture here. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 17, it says, "Therefore, beloved, seeing that ye know that these things before, beware lest ye also being led away with error of the wicked fall from your own steadfastness." Thank God. Help us, God. Give us the godly direction that we need. Help us, Lord, to be able to be mindful of what you want us to do. Help us to know the word and to apply it to our lives. Live what God has called you to live out. Don't fall to any of the false temptations. Listen to what God has got to say. Sometimes we're going to need to be able to sit down and talk to a godly man and take some godly counsel and make sure that, that man's a godly man. If I go to anybody, I'll go to Brother Gary, I'll go to Brother Dan, and I go to any of the men that are sitting here in this church because I believe that you all are godly men. See, I can take godly counsel, but there's those that will kind of, just give you, well, I believe kind of counsel. So thank God for the godly men. Thank you, Jesus. All right, God bless you. We're going to pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord God, for your mercy. Thank you for your word tonight, Lord God. I pray that you'd help us to stand strong, Lord Father God, and be able to resist the temptation and the enemy, Lord Father, as he does come along. And Lord, he does try to move into our lives and into our minds and begins to trick us, Lord Father. I thank you, Lord, for your mercy and your goodness. And we thank you, Lord God, for all things. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.